Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that lies for me. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Okay, it is New Realities with Alan Steinfeld, and that was a song called The Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson. Tonight I have a program that I've been wanting to do for a long time because it's about the crystal skull, the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. I am talking to the current owner of that skull, Bill Holman, and he'll be coming to New York City April 4th, sponsored by the ARE Center of New York, and it'll be at the Community Church at 40 East 35th Street. If you want more information, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's get into the story. Last I heard, the whole thing about the crystal skull is, supposedly, from what I know, they were made by some kind of ancient, probably alien technology. Describe what this looks like and how you think it was made.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, the Mitchell Hedges skull is a very special thing because it is a anatomically correct skull, life size. They did a forensic study on it back in the 90s and determined that it was a Mesoamerican female of ancient origin between 25 and 29 is what they determined. It's pretty amazing. It's something you have to see to really get the full value of it. But it was made, it's amazing how to say who made it or when they made it. There's a lot of beliefs by the ancient people or the different groups of Maya or different people.
Bill, one second. I just want to get something straight. When you described it as a skull, a similar human skull would be as if it was someone who was 29 years old from a Mesoamerican background. Is that what you're saying? Because this is made of all crystal. And so if they were to take that and have it as bone, they'd kind of trace it back to what you just described. That's amazing they can actually do that.
That's the amazing part is that it is anatomically correct, and it is in two pieces. There's a top half of the skull, and the jaw is separate, and that what is kind of amazing, because that's another reason that it should not even be here, because crystal being very hard, and then trying to carve a jaw separate is just like, how did they do it?
Because it wasn't done by machines. There was no technology, and of course they can't trace how old it is because it's crystal. There's no way to carbon date it, right?
That's correct. Just go by the different feelings and legend. You go with the Mayans believe that the skulls were brought here from a continent that had sunk, and brought by the people from that continent to their continent at the end of the third world, as they call it, and the beginning of the fourth world.
So you're saying this is the Mayans say we might call it Atlantean or Lemurian. Is that what they're saying the crystal skull is?
I've been working with the Mayans in the area of Lubantun. They're a very special group of Mayans, and they, going by the belief from the high priests and different things, that's pretty much what they have told me, is that they believe that where it came from. Because it was found by F.A. Mitchell Hedges and his daughter Anna in 1924. They found it in a pyramid in a site in a place called Lubantun, which is in now Belize, which was in British Honduras. It was buried in a pyramid for over 1,000 years when they opened it up in 1924. So how it got there or who put it there, there's a lot of different speculation. So it makes it pretty interesting.
Can you back up 1 second also and tell us how you came into possession of this, priceless artifact, really?
I would always had a deep interest in adventure, and that has always been kind of a center point in my life. And I heard about the crystal skull way back in the late 60s, and through an article, and I was kind of mesmerized by it, and I thought I just felt there was something special about it, and I was hoping someday to be able to see it. And back in the late 70s, I heard about the crystal skull being in Canada, and contacted Anna Mitchell Hedges, who was the current owner of the skull, and she invited me up to see it, and we became good friends. And over the years, I was able to take her on and she went on lectures and different things. I was able to help her, and we got to be good friends, and I was able to be taught by her what to do with it, how to take care of it. And she's in her last part of her life, she lived to be 100 years old. She spent the last 8 years with me in Indiana, where I was living at the time, and she completed the education of what she expected with the skull, what she wanted done with it, and how the secrets, the different secrets of the skull that she was taught by the Mayan people. So, giving me, she passed away on my birthday in 2007, and passed it on to me to carry on her tradition. What she wanted done with it was bringing it out so people can see it, experience it. Not everyone, but the people that are drawn to it. It's a pretty amazing thing because people are drawn to it from all over the world, and I try to make that available, that if they do want to see it, and that's why I feel New York is a good place I'd love to be out there and make it available for the people that find it interesting, that would like to experience the energy and the crystal skull.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited by it because of, I know there's magic in there because, one of what I heard an old interview Mitchell Hedges, the daughter, what was her first name, Margaret?
Anna
Mitchell Hedges. And she talked about, really the ability of visionaries to look into the skull and start to see pictures. And then I saw actually a photograph of the skull, and I started to actually see pictures just in the photograph of the skull, different shapes sort of coming to life, as like what crystal ball gazers do. I started to see that. Is that one of the magic elements of the skull that you're aware of?
Yeah, there's several things that skulls have different abilities put in them, and this one definitely, it's always neat when you take a picture because you never know what you might get. When I was on back in Australia a few months ago, somebody took a picture and they showed it to me, and it's had a whole, like a city in it, and you had people along the side of the road and people sitting down and all kind of things like that, and it just appeared in the skull. So, and then other times you might take a picture and it might be like an outer space picture. There's pictures of the skull that you could probably line up to different constellations and stuff, and probably ones that, you'd have to really study to try and find out which ones they were, but there's things that just appear in the skull, and that's a pretty neat, especially when you take a picture, you can be really surprised with what might come out of it.
I know, and does it, you think those pictures are based on the consciousness of the person looking at it, the consciousness of the, or something that the skull is actually trying to communicate with us at this time?
I think there's a communication there to what the person needs. It seems like what it does is it mirrors the person's inner self, and you don't always really, you might say that, I wish I could do this, or I wish I could do that, but that's just on the outside, but your real inner self might have a need for something else. And the skull kind of goes into the inner self and mirrors that inner self and brings that out. And so I think it's that more that type of a picture.
Well, so what other magic I would call them magic, but what else did Anna Mitchell Hedges tell you about the skull in this new course of bringing it public?
Okay, well, what it And a lot of it has to do with the time we're living right now. We're living in a very special, special time, and it's a time of great change and everything, but there's a lot of possibility for really good things. And the Mayans believe they have their calendar. There's a number of different races and of people that have the same belief that the Mayan calendar and the time of it is very important. And 2012 is a time that's becoming more and more in people's minds. And the crystal skull is very much, with the Mayan tradition, a part of that prophecy and what's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of people feel doom and gloom, the end of the world or whatever, but really the Mayans believe that it's the end of a cycle, a 26,000-year cycle, and they see it as a tree. They see it as a tree, and for the last 26,000 years, we've been in the roots of the tree, and now on 2012, we're going to go from the roots into the trunk. So I see it as going from being in the dark into the light. So that being the case, it sounds pretty good to me. So I'm ready for something good.
But how did the skull actually communicate? I mean, it's just, you know, crystal. How did it actually communicate something about 2012? What was the mechanism of that exchange?
Okay, well, what it is different people that created it, and they must have a knowledge greater than us. It's made out of piezoelectric quartz crystal, the same kind of crystal that you use for computers. And so there's the possibility of storing knowledge in it at a rate or a type that we don't really understand. But according to what they believe, there's some type of knowledge stored in it that could be brought out and will be brought out in the, you know, as the time becomes closer.
But so, I mean, who's bringing, I mean, how is it being brought out of the skull? And who's interpreting the messages?
Okay. It's not just a one-way thing. There's a lot of different things that are happening. And if you would kind of follow my path over the last year and a half or whatever, it's kind of an amazing journey, because it's a nonstop type of action of evolution that I've been on. You know, I can tell you, you know, how it's been happening. It's just, it's pretty much like... it's like you have to see it to believe it. It's pretty wild.
Well, describe some of it. Go ahead. Tell us about it, because it's fascinating.
Like in just my schedule, as I went from in September, I did a lecture. At the end of September, I was in Sedona. Then right after that, 2 days later, I went to Australia. I was in Australia going around working with Aborigines, working with some of the Aborigines that some of these energy, they call them sun lines, we call them energy lines on the earth, and there were some that were blocked. And the skull works really good with energy, and it works on these sun lines or energy lines to balance it out and open them up. So with the help of the Aborigine elders, we were able to open up energy lines that connect a place called Mount Warning all the way through to Machu Picchu in Peru. It was the one that was blocked, and we were able to open that up, and it was, so they were all excited about that. So we did that in October, and then at the end of October I went to Argentina, and I was down there, and then I went to Brazil, and I worked with a healer by the name of John of God, which...
Oh, you worked early, with John of God on the cell, on the skull, with the skull?
I worked, well, with kind of an interesting story. I was... I worked down there with some friends, and we were working on some energy stuff down there. And I was in line. I had the skull in the bag because I couldn't just leave it. I had to have it with me. And
yeah.
I put it down to be in line, and he looked at me and he said, "I want to see it right now." And I said, "What?" And he pointed at the bag. I said about three times, and he was really adamant. So I brought it up to him, opened it up, and he grabbed it and took it out and held it, and he said, "Where did you get it? Where are the other ones?" And then he said that it came from a place that had sunk under the sea. And several things like that. But I have tremendous respect for John, and John of God, and I really want to, with the skull and with whatever I have, be able to work with him and his energies, because I think it's an important thing for where we're at in the planet right now.
But okay, but let's before you get on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Then after that, I went to Scotland and then worked on energies in Edinburgh, and then went to Roslyn Chapel with the skull, and then came back, and then I went to Brazil or Belize and worked down in Belize with a Mayan high priest, and then came back, and then went to Arizona, did some work with some Monroe Institute people on remote viewing, then went to where was it after that? I mean, it's just like one thing after another, and
so you're sort of tracking. You're creating like a power grid or something. You're gridding the planet with the skull.
What's happening is it's moving me to these different places that I'm being drawn to. Like I was down in the area of the Bermuda Triangle in January, and that was there was something good to do down there. And then I don't know how that works, but I feel that New York City is kind of an important place with all the things that are happening that to bring the skull. So for some reason, I'm going to be out there to try to do what I have to do, and then I don't even really understand it.
Well, let's definitely do a television show when you're here, because I do mostly television, but I do this radio program too because it's just another way to reach people. But I'm really excited about seeing it. And let's talk about these other skulls. Spielberg made that movie recently about the crystal skull, and it's supposedly bringing these 12 skulls like you have together will create some sort of energetic field around the Earth. Is that true?
Well, I don't really have all the answers. All I do is I go by a lot of what the ancients have to say and what their beliefs are. But they believe that there are a total of 13 skulls, and really what I feel that they don't have to be all found and brought to a certain place. I think they were put at the proper place, and all we have to do is find the ones that have been found and move them back to where they were originally found, and I think by that we'll align the energy right in to where we have to do it. But that's what I'm just kind of has come to me now, and I'm not hopefully by 2012 I'll have it all figured out, but I'm working on it. So
wait, have you met Max, the crystal skull called Max?
Let's see. I know about Max, but I've never met Max. No.
It'd be interesting to put those two skulls together to see if there was some kind of electrical frequency that happened, or something.
I think they've been together back in the either the 80s or 90s, but that was the last time. So, Max is a very special skull. I have respect for it. There's a lot of other ones that are, and each one seems to have a certain program in it that it does certain things. So they're not all the same, so that's kind of interesting.
So what does yours do, the Mitchell Hedges skull?
Well, what it does is it works on the heart man, and it opens the heart to like a universal love that all things are created, not just mankind, but animal life, plant life, the earth itself, and all are connected. And it works on bringing out the connection, opening people up to the fact that, hey, it's a time for change. It's a time to work in that more positive consciousness. So the skull is very important in that. The one thing, when you meet the skull or come to see it, you feel it very strongly, usually right in your heart chakra. That's what's vibrating the most. And it also works on a special place in the human brain that's kind of a dormant spot, and it makes that vibrate. And once you meet it and see it, it has that effect that you kind of open up to, it changes your life in a really neat way.
Wow, that's fantastic. It probably has what they call a mirror neuron effect or something, where it stimulates a kind of mechanism by just the kind of resonance that our skull has with that
frequency.
Skull.
I think it's a special frequency, that has that. And it's pretty amazing. I usually, I like the people to get the energy and feel the energy, because it kind of they take it with them, and it helps them. It's a healing thing. So I like to be able to do that for people.
So if this came from some ancient civilization, maybe Atlantis, how old would you say this skull is from what you can guess?
Yeah. Well, I can only go by what they say, and they say 17,000 years old. It could be. There's with the skull, if you read about it, there's all different people, and they have all different theories. But I usually go by like what people like John of God and other of the different masters that have that ability to kind of feel. Like I worked with Grandfather Martin, who's the prophet for the Hopi Nation, and another person I have great love and respect for, and it was his feeling too, and that's the kind of thing I go with.
Have you ever had any museums or people try to buy it or authorities try to get it from you? Have you had any things come up like that?
See. Well, the skull has all kind of protections. It protects itself quite well, and it has a purpose of what it's doing. And then, and I'm just more or less, it's like I'm the dummy that walks around and doing what it's supposed to do. But I believe in what it's doing for the planet, helping the world, and I think the world is at a point that we can't not be serious about moving ahead and trying to work in higher consciousness and realizing that we're all connected. And if we can do that, then there's a chance for mankind to move to a really beautiful future. That's what I feel.
That feels right too. But do you think there's some kind of intelligence emanating from the skull, or is there an intelligence sort of directing the skull from another dimension?
Well, I think that would be a hard one to say. But I think the skull is an entity, or there must be some kind of entities living inside it, or whatever is what I feel being around it. I feel. I don't feel it.
You feel a presence in when you're with, I mean, I guess you're always with it, so you're always in touch with a presence, huh?
There's a presence there, yeah. You feel the presence, right.
And is the presence psychically communicating with you, or just showing you pictures? I guess with John of God and other people, it's a sort of psychic communication, right?
It kind of communicates I'll tell you kind of an interesting thing. When I was in, several places, but when I was in Australia, I worked with this doctor that developed what they call a PIP camera. And the PIP camera has the ability to see what it does is it times the timing of protons bouncing off of a different object. You know, it could be skin, could be whatever. And it is able to, by frequency, would change the color so you can see energy, and it's pretty amazing. We played with it. I was able to, I do martial arts, so I know how pressure energy runs through the body. So I was able to touch a pressure point and see with the machine the energy stopping and backing up, and then hit another pressure point and seeing the energy move. So it was pretty interesting. Now we used the skull. We had the skull sitting on the coffee table, and he was looking at it with the PIP machine. And you could see the skull, and there was another skull that formed underneath it, like an etheric skull.
Wow.
And as I moved over to it, I sat down, and I put my hands on it, and then the skull, the one underneath, kind of went into the one above, so it was just the one skull. And then it was like white light, and then my body started filling up with this white light. And pretty soon, the whole thing more or less, it seemed like it exploded. And there was like a cone coming out of the top of my head with a rainbow of color shooting out. And he's got it on his video. So he was seeing things that he didn't believe that was even possible. And we took the skull over to the PIP camera and showed the screen to the skull. And you could see the skull, the third eye started spinning, and the PIP camera, the system, the computer itself, got kicked out of the system, which it never happened before, and And he was like, but you could see the third eye of the skull recognizing itself in the thing, which was kind of wild. So, yeah, I don't understand it. I just kind of go with it. But it's a pretty
amazing thing. It's amazing. I'm really, you're getting me very excited about being in the presence of this thing, this being. I guess it's more like a being than a thing.
Try to bring some of the PIP footage with me, and I think you might find that very interesting. We were like doing a meditation at one of the cities I was going through, and I was up there with the skull, and he had the PIP camera, and there was like energy coming out, and you could see the energy circulating through everybody in the whole audience, and it was pretty amazing how that worked. And he has that on film too. So.
So you have you have a videotape of that. You're saying PIP, P-I-T camera? How do you say?
P-I-P, P-I-PIP. It's a proton. It's like a photon camera is what it is. And it's,
But no, you have video footage of that. When we do our television interview, let's show some of that video footage, if you don't mind. And,
It's Dr. Harry Oldfield is the one that he developed. He's the scientist that developed the camera. So you might want to look at something about that. It's pretty interesting. If you look at it, he has a lot of pictures of the skull and some of the strange stuff he got. So.
So what do you see? I mean, yeah, this is a time for planetary change and for humanity to evolve and open the hearts, and this skull is here as a kind of caretaker of our evolution, or a way of to help us evolve through its consciousness.
Well, the Mayans believe that the skulls come out at a time of great change and need in the world, and that's possibly why it's here. We're at a major point that we're at right now. We're a chance of a great possibilities for mankind, a chance of really moving ahead. Like a quantum leap into a higher consciousness. And I think the possibility that the skull could be something, if the Mayan prophecy is right, something to do with that. So the skulls are very important.
Now, how is the skull connected to extraterrestrial civilizations, ET consciousness? Because I think I saw like a spaceship in the Mitchell Hedges skull once, or a photograph of that.
If they usually, when they take a picture underneath, they can usually see either one or several different flying saucers the way the picture shows up. So there's certain pictures that show up in certain parts. But, how that goes and what the connection is, I think that connection is going to be brought out, very strongly more to understand it in the next several, years. I think that's something that's, it's an evolution that's going to be coming out now.
So in a way, this is really a tool for psychics and intuitives, and is a sort of a information feedback that's coming from this intelligence that sensitives will be able to kind of almost dialogue with. Are you saying that as well?
People that are sensitive, and people are becoming more sensitive now that we're coming into this age. Psychic ability is becoming greatly enhanced, and as that happens, they're able to connect with the skulls more readily. The skulls come to people, and it will happen is probably before I come to New York, there'll be a number of people that will have experiences with the skull coming to them, and whatever, depending, even people that don't even know they're psychic will have that experience, because I find all kind of lectures I go to, people will come and say, didn't know anything about skulls, but the skull appeared to me, and I feel I should be here, so I'm here. And
I'm feeling that myself. So you're saying even before you get here to New York, people are going to have an experience of the skull, like a communication and an opening. That's fantastic.
Yeah, not everyone.
No, I know not everyone.
There'll be a good number of them, yeah.
But I actually feel a connection to the skull, the Mitchell Hedges skull. I've seen a lot of, well, not a lot, but I've seen a few crystal skulls that I didn't resonate with. And when I heard about this in the 80s, I guess it was, wasn't there a guy, Nick Nocerino, who was connected with the skull?
Well, yeah, back in the 80s, Nick did some tests on the skull. He did a lot of different tests. And I think he wrote a book about it. And Frank Dolan wrote a book called Holy Ice, and that was probably one of the best books as far as the knowledge of the Mitchell Hedges skull and what's, you know, what it's really all about. But there was different people that had a chance to study it, and Nick was one of the people that studied it in 1987.
Right, I heard him speak on the radio, I guess, when I heard Ann Mitchell Hedges talk about being a child in Mexico. But as soon as I heard about it and then saw pictures of it, I did feel a resonance with the skull, like there was something, some kind of communication in that. So I'm very curious about seeing that and having an experience. And because I've also developed whatever intuitive abilities, I think this is something that's just accelerating everyone who probably comes in contact with it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that some people are really drawn to it. You know, you might have 100 people, and of that, the ones that are really drawn to it have that connection. And it's, you know, I feel that you have that connection, and I think it will really be something that you will gain a lot from in meeting it. So I'll be glad to be there, and I think you'll really enjoy the experience of it.
Well, I'm excited about
once you see it, you'll never forget it. It's something that's
but doing a television and doing a television show and showing it on camera, I think people will get a transmission by just seeing that visually. I mean, if they can't see it, you know, in person, but, you know,
right,
by having that will be really exciting for people. And then I'll be able to even put it out in a bigger way on YouTube and on television. So we can start to really spread whatever this, because it's a very positive force. Don't you feel that?
Oh, yeah. We need positive things in the world right now, that's for sure. And, you know, a lot of things are based on fear and negativity, and we want to open it up to more the joy and the hope and the possibility of good things in the future. And that's what the message of the Maya and the message of the skulls are, that there is a possibility that, hey, we can reach this higher consciousness that is right there, and it's within our reach. So
what do you think? Do you think the 2012 date, the December 21st, is an actual date of a shift, or is it a kind of approximate date? I mean, I know they say that the calendar ends, the old calendar ends, and a new calendar begins, but do you think it's that exact date a transition will happen?
Okay, well, a lot of their stuff is within 3 seconds of being correct, so even after all this period of time. So they're pretty good at what they do. What it is it's the time when our galaxy and the planets line up with the center of the universe. That's what happens every 26,000 years. And when that happens, then there's a lot of things that could affect the planet. In fact, you know, they talk about pole shifts and everything. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but the scientists are starting to recognize what is happening and the possibility that could happen. So I think with working with energies in the skulls, by balancing out the energy in the world, there's a good chance that will, you know, it's like if you are out of balance and something happens, you can really go out of control. So what the Hopi say is the way the gods will be. In the past, they shook one fist and destroyed the world. They say that they possibly could shake two fists this time, or if mankind can reach this consciousness to open up to, you know, open up their hearts to unfreeze the hearts of man and open that up, there's a good chance that we can go through it a lot very peacefully and into the new millennium, the new time period, very easily, which I'd really like to see myself. I wanted to go through and and say, "Oh, was that really happened? Was that?" I don't want anything too bad happening. I want
to. Well, I'd like to see that too. But is there a certain thing? I mean, yes, opening the heart on lots of people. But is there a certain thing we can do to actually make that happen? Is there a certain technique? Or
you know what? I think it's happening all over the world. And people are becoming more consciousness of, you know, of their self, their fellow man. See, what it is the world evolves in a spiraling thing. It keeps spiraling. That's evolution. And what has happened is we've kind of put a cap on the top of it with control of fear that has been spread between mankind and putting down, the female energy in the planet, where it's been beat down, instead of making it so it should be equal with the male energy. There should be a balance of yin and yang. It shouldn't be one side is real big and the other side is pushed down. And the women energy has to take responsibility for what they are. They are the priestess, and the men are the priest to keep the energy balanced and even. If that happens, then there's a chance that we can, you know, we can keep evolving. But if everything's pushed down and repressed and worked with fear and hate, there's the only choice we have is destruction. Because there's no chance to grow through it. But I see that there's a lot of good things happening, that we are opening up to this higher consciousness and believing that, and allowing that female energy coming through. We're at an age. This is the age where that energy has to be more prevalent and more powerful and more equal to the male. If that happens, there's a good chance that a lot of the bad things that could happen will not happen.
Well, it's interesting that the skull is a female skull as well, isn't it? So there's a female consciousness that's emanating from it. And
I think it changes with the period of time we're in. But since that's the time we're in right now, I think that's why that energy is coming through that way. So I'm still learning. I'm just I love learning. I like learning new things. I don't have the answers. I'm just kind of on a quest here. And
it's a fascinating quest.
I think, you know, I believe that if the spirit's right, I'll be in the proper place, and the people will be in the proper place. That this will come through this with a way to be able to, hey, we got a smile on our face and a smile on our hearts, and hey, we've done it. So let's go for the goal. Let's have some fun along the way. So
right, but I mean, we have to get rid of the wars and the destruction and the hatred and the violence and all the things. But that's happening. I think, you know, we have a president perhaps who's you know, at least a turn in the right direction, and I think things are changing. So I think we do have a chance at going for the gold and uplifting the culture and evolving consciousness. I mean, that's why I do this program, is because I know there's a shift in the way people are thinking, and listening to you and to other people who are bringing this message is how we are changing the planet together.
Yeah, I think that's what each one of us kind of do, our little part, and by putting the little pieces together, we've kind of made the puzzle, and it's so it's kind of it's an exciting thing. So, and we're kind of I feel though that it's important not to say, hey, let's do what we're going to do next week or next month. It's we got to start on this quest and on this process today, and keep on it, because it's very important to be able to follow through. What we do is affects so much. And I realize that we can raise the consciousness of a small group of people, filling those people with universal love in their heart. It's a very strong force that can and work on healing the people and the planet.
Well, we're doing that. How long are you going to be in New York for around April 4th?
For a couple days. Yeah.
Are you going to do private sessions with the skull?
Not too many, but I'm going to do some, yeah. I'll be doing some private sessions. I like to work with meditations groups with the skull. We found that with that PIP camera, when you do meditations, it really has a neat effect. So hopefully we'll get some really good opening, clearing meditations, and that'll be kind of neat.
That'll be really exciting. No, I think, you know, you bringing it all over the planet, and you're going to keep going, right? From New York, you're going someplace else, right? After that, you're on a world tour, right?
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of traveling, going quite a few places, and it just kind of goes where it needs to, so to speak. I'm going to try to. What I've kind of come to this the feeling now that I might. I like Sedona, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a home base for the skull, because if I go out and do these lectures, maybe I only meet, you know, maybe 100 people, 500 people, whatever. But if I, in Sedona, if it is a place where people can see it and experience it, there's 4 million people a year come to that area, and it has special energies and stuff. So I would, you know, I'm to bring people to know more about F.A. Mitchell Hedges, Anna Mitchell Hedges' life. F.A. Mitchell Hedges, you could do, books and books about his life, Anna's life. They were very, very unique, very special people, and they had a very special role in the world and what they, you know, and very few people know about them. So by bringing out some of the stuff about them, I'd like more and more people to understand their life and know, you know, what they were really all about. So that's one of my goals that I'm trying to work on.
Wow, that would be great. I think it would be great to be in Sedona. You could, like, just set it up on in a kind of storefront, and, you know, people could pay, like, $5. You'd be packed in Sedona. It would add quite a presence to that city. I've spent a lot of time in Sedona, and I'm familiar with the energetics there because the iron, the red rocks create a magnetic field. So to put that skull in a huge magnetic field like Sedona will definitely... It'll definitely do something interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Have you been to Sedona? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been there a number of times, and I've worked with the skull by Cathedral Rock on some some of the old Hopi property, right on some of the, you know, like the summer solstice and the different equinoxes and different times of the year, the important times. We did different ceremonies with the skull. Can I tell you a kind of an interesting story that I'd like to tell?
Yeah, tell me, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, with the skull, different people are brought out. It's kind of neat how it works. I did a thing for the Sci-Fi Channel last year, and it was, right before the Indiana Jones was released, and it was like the mystery of the skulls. It was for sci-fi. And what they did is they had me go all over Central and South America, or Central America, looking for... crystal skulls and meeting the people down there and following Mitchell Hedges' trail back through the different places. But there was a gentleman that saw this movie, and he had a feeling that he needed to contact me, and he needed to contact the skull. And he thought, that's ridiculous. He doesn't know where I am or anything about it, the skull. And he forgot about it. But 2 weeks later, I was going to this area to do a lecture, and people that were bringing me in were talking about Ray Brown's orb, and Ray Brown's orb was, I think, have you heard about that?
No.
It was an orb that was found off the coast of Bimini back in the 70s.
An orb? What do you mean by an orb?
A crystal ball. It was a little crystal ball that was found. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard about that, yeah.
Heard about, what it was is it was kind of known back in the 70s, and then Ray Brown passed away, and he passed on to his teacher and told him never to bring it out or never to show anybody to the right time. Well, the gentleman had the orb, and these people that were going to bring me in started talking about it for no reason, and the lady that was there said, hey, I know where it is, but I can't tell anybody. And they said, well, tell him. Maybe he wants to know about the skull. He might want to see it. So she went to tell him, and he was all excited because he did want to see it, and he didn't think he ever would. So we brought the orb and the skull, and we put them together on the summer solstice by Cathedral Rock, and it was really a powerful thing. And,
what happened? What happened there?
Well, in our pictures, the skull turned white, and it had white energy shooting around it, and the orb turned gold. And we have a picture of it, and you can see it. I'll bring along to show you. How's that?
And what did you feel in that meeting of the orb and the skull?
Oh, there's, it's like an, there was some major energy change, and we've done it more than one time since then, and the, and we took it in September, and we had them together, and this time the skull turned blue, and there was blue lights going all over the ground, and we had it in a conference room. The conference room was gold, and the tablecloths were gold, and we had the skull on the table and the orb, and they took pictures with cameras, and the pictures, you looked into the viewfinder and everything was gold and the skull was okay, and they took the picture and the walls turned blue, the tablecloth turned blue, and the skull turned blue, and the orb turned blue. And they took numbers of pictures, and every time, I have those pictures too, are kind of interesting, how that happened. But, so you never know what's going to happen with the skull, and with the orb was kind of neat. The orb was found in a pyramid underneath the sea, by Ray Brown. He was scuba diving out in that area, and there was a big storm. And after the storm, they had to tie themselves to trees because it was so bad. And after the storm, they went diving, and they saw at 125 feet a pyramid with a blue lapis capstone. And they went down to it, and there was an opening. And they went in it, and it was light inside. It wasn't dark. And they saw a gold spear with a red ruby stone on the end, and there are two golden hands, and they tried to get the spear loose. They couldn't get the spear loose. They tried to get the stone off. They couldn't get it. But inside the hands, there was an orb, and they picked it up. And they had, like a voice said, you got what you came for. Now leave and don't come back. So they got out of there quick, and they left. And the four other guys went back, and they weren't supposed to, and they were mysteriously killed. And the only one left was Ray Brown. He had the orb. And then when he passed away, he passed it on to this gentleman. If you look on the web, there's still stuff wrote about Ray Brown's orb, so it's kind of interesting.
I will look on that. I mean, as you're describing this, it reminds me of when I was in India, and there's these things called these holy relics, which actually are manifestations from some divine realm, and these relics do have these special healing abilities and these other psychic phenomena that happen around them, and this seems like a major relic from some other dimension. That's what I'm getting. That's what the feeling I'm getting.
They say the skulls are multidimensional, and that's why they appear all over the place. So you never know what might happen or what you might get, but it's always very positive, and it's always good for mankind.
Well, Bill, I'm really, really looking forward to meeting you and, of course, the Mitchell Hedges skull. I'm talking to Bill Holman, who will be in New York on April 4th at a presentation that the ARE Center of New York, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, will be doing at the church, the community church, which is at 40 East 35th Street in Manhattan. That's between Park and Lexington. And the admission there is $35. And if you pre-register, it's $30 if you pre-register before March 21st. And you will be doing private sessions. If you want to call the ARE to pre-register, call 212-691-7690. Any final words, Bill, about anything Anna Mitchell Hedges told you about the skull? Any special teachings that you just want to leave the audience with?
Well, let's see. Well, one of the things that Mitchell Hedges would always say, and I'll just like to say that, is a life without zest and adventure is a life not worth living. So he was a person that enjoyed adventure, and he took life into the fullest. And I think That's a good way, you can have adventures in all different ways, but a matter of fact is to find life, find out what you really want in life and go after it. That's what makes the fullness of what we're here, really here all about. So have a good adventure, and I'm looking forward to seeing you out there in New York.
Well, definitely, definitely, and thank you for the work. I mean, you are truly a servant of consciousness. Seems like you're just doing this because this is what needs to be done, really.
You try to follow your heart, and you know that's what I believe in. And if I believe in something, I go for it. And I'm doing the best I can. I'm still learning all the time. So,
well, you seem like a very humble person, Bill.
So just enjoying it and doing the best you can do. That's all you can do. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for talking on New Realities, because this has really been a new reality, and I'll report to people what my immediate impressions of the Crystal Skull are. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and if you want to reach me, email me at newrealities.com. Check out my website where this interview will be posted, as well as on bbsradio.com, and also go to newrealities.com. Thank you for listening.